so that the congregation can know what it is that they claim to believe, we include each worship service an affirmation of faith taken directly from God's Word. The one for today from 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, verses 13 and 14, where we read the apostle's words, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." God's word for today is from Luke's gospel, the 13th chapter, verses 6 through 9, a parable that Jesus tells. Then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Today's message is a kind of follow-up sermon to last week's message, where we heard about the disciples as dense, thick-headed, slow to understand, and capable of simply and clearly doing the wrong thing, not doing what Jesus wanted. And yet, we noticed that Jesus never regretted calling any of them as disciples. Jesus had prayed to the Heavenly Father about each one and then came down from the hilltop of prayer and called each one by name. And Jesus gave thanks for those same disciples, even Peter, who opposed Jesus on going to Jerusalem. Jesus speaks of bearing fruit over a half a dozen times, even referring to the yields that are possible from those of us who will bear fruit for the Lord. And Jesus wants us all to bear good fruit. Jesus' words to the disciples at the Last Supper, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." From the same chapter 15 of John's Gospel, this verse 8, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." And later, again, that same chapter, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." I would draw your attention to a few key words in these quotes from Jesus. "If you remain in me, if you abide in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit." If, Jesus said, "if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit." Before we go any further, whether we talk about a little fruit or a lot of fruit, what fruit are we talking about? Jesus has given us an analogy. We are like unto fruit-bearing vines, but we are not vines. So what kind of fruit did Jesus have in mind? Good question. But whatever else being fruitful might mean, it is the result of a flourishing life, right? A fruitful plant or tree has been nourished sufficient nourishment and water and sunshine. Jesus tells another story about plants. The fruitful plants in that story of Jesus have to be in good soil. Bruce Wilkinson is the author of a number of popular Christian books, some we've used in Bible studies, I've used in sermons often. He has a book on these same topics entitled, that is the same topics we're looking at today, entitled Secrets of the Vine. Wilkinson states that he has traced the words fruit and good works in the Bible and finds those two phrases almost interchangeable. The apostle states in the letter to the believers in the Greek town of Colossae, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. So there are two indications as to what fruit Jesus is talking about, good work, or especially the good work of growing in the knowledge of God. Certainly that was one of Jesus' favorite topics, that we might know the Lord God. So Jesus intends to reveal the Father to you. If you have seen me, Jesus says, you have seen the Father. In the letter to the Ephesians, the apostle says plainly, I am praying that you may know the Heavenly Father better. But there's more to fruit than knowledge, even the most wonderful knowledge of God. The apostle Paul will say the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and I prefer that translation of the word rather than the word patience, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And Jesus said, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Again in Colossians we read, in the same way the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. So here, fruit is something that happens in each believer and in the whole church. It is among you and has to do with understanding God's grace, and it grows. Now, as important as this is, this growing and the fruit and the knowledge of God, author Wilkinson asks about this growth of fruit, because it seems so crucial to God's plan and the glory that the Heavenly Father is to receive. Wouldn't the Heavenly Father automatically make this happen in our lives since we do believe in him? But that isn't what Jesus said. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus, while they were still at the table of the Last Supper, Jesus may have had a bunch of grapes in front of him in a bowl or on a platter as decoration or as a part of the meal. And he might have held that in his hand and said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Jesus said that the Heavenly Father is the vine dresser. Vine dressers help the grapes to grow, but the grapes grow on the vine. I'm talking about you and me. I've never grown grapes, but I've grown tomatoes. There are those who heartily recommend pruning the tomato plant. I've heard it called suckering the plant because you remove the sucker starts. Other fruit plants require pruning. You know what that is. Those are scissors. I would have brought my pruning shears, but it doesn't make the same sound. Now, we're not plants. It's hard for us to imagine, though, that this cutting feels good. Jesus never said it would feel good to be dressed by the vine dresser. Jesus only said that it would help us, the plant, to bear fruit. We've all heard of growing pains. Now, who's still interested in bearing fruit? Well, to bear fruit, you will have to be under the care of the vine dresser. Julian, our neighbor down here and teacher at the high school, has this season been learning the downside of bearing fruit, pruning. He has a massive growing project at the school. Some of you heard Julian talk about his garden project for the school and for the town. As he gave me a tour, he mentioned all the pruning that was needed and the benefits of pruning. You and I have to wonder if the tree or the plant feels the same way about having a branch get lopped off or pulled off. You and I have to wonder what exactly pruning means in our lives. But any way you describe pruning, which is basically losing a limb, it's really hard to make pruning sound pleasant, or even something any of us would want to undergo. But Jesus is clear about pruning. And because Jesus warned us, I repeat Jesus' warning to you and me. For Jesus said, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he, the vine dresser, takes away." Do I need to repeat that? Jesus said, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he, the vine dresser, takes away." Are you a little worried? Well, that's probably healthy. But we are leading up to our Bible reading for today, where the vine dresser says, "Leave it for another year." Now, having understood what fruit we are talking about, we look at other places in the New Testament that talk about us bearing fruit. From James' book, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains." In the Holy Land, there are two seasons of rain, and you will not harvest until both seasons of rain are completed. So even with the first season of rain, you have to wait for the other season of rain before you can harvest. James says there's a growing harvesting timeline, and it cannot be rushed. That's bad news for American Christians who can't wait for much of anything, let alone bearing fruit for the Lord in due season. American Christians have trouble waiting for traffic lights. Even our fast food isn't fast enough for us. Jimmy John's Sandwiches Company delivery people were caught performing an array of driving infractions during deliveries, according to a report in Chicago in 2015. In case you've forgotten who Jimmy John's is, they're the people who deliver freaky fast. But Christians, the Bible, and we must assume our Lord, is not interested in fast. By true choosing fruit as the example, our Lord Jesus suggests that there was a maturity factor in producing the fruits in every Christian. Galatians, the apostle says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap." Here are some other versions and translations of that same verse in Galatians. "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Let us not grow weary or become discouraged in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap. And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right, for in due time and at the appointed season we shall reap." So if you have any concern about not bearing fruit, the version I just read reads, "Let us not lose heart, for in due time and at the appointed season we shall reap. In today's Bible reading, the whole problem that Jesus talks about is a tree that is not bearing fruit. The good news is that the fact that the tree bears no fruit now is not the end of the story. So if you have any concerns about bearing fruit or not bearing fruit, it isn't the end of your story or mine. Jesus says in Jesus' story, "So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard," that would be the vine dresser, "for 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" But the vine dresser responds, "Sir, leave it alone for one more year. I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." The man is ready to pass judgment on the tree and gives an order to the farmer, 3 years, no fruit, cut it down. But the vine dresser has a better idea. The vine dresser is going to give that tree special attention and a whole year to bear fruit. So there's a reprieve. There is grace, and more than grace, because we're not just waiting a year for this tree to bear fruit. The vine dresser is going to put fertilizer and make room for the roots to move out so it can bear fruit. But notice, the vine dresser does go on to say, if the tree does not bear fruit next year, then cut it down. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus also said to the disciples, "I chose you for the purpose of you bearing fruit." And Jesus adds, "fruit that will last." Again, we may not know exactly what this means in practical terms. Are we in danger of losing our salvation? What might it mean to be cut down? Even though the tree owner pronounced judgment against the bare tree, the vine dresser asked to give it extra care in order to bear fruit. We do know that the Lord intends that we bear much fruit. We know that the fruit is related to our relationship with Jesus, that there is patience with the Heavenly Father. There's patience required for fruit to harvest. Are you working for the harvest? Let's talk about another aspect of trees and vines and fruit. No one has mentioned in this story of Jesus's what the tree looks like. How that fruitless tree appears, except the fact that it has no fruit. The Apostle Paul said this, "We have this treasure in jars of clay." He goes on to say, "Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." So the Apostle Paul makes clear that the fruit is not what is seen. At least it's not seen with our human eyes. The fruit may be discerned by the Holy Spirit, because the fruit is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, writes the apostle, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This building's 150 years old, but it's only temporary. We've had church members live to be over 100 years old, but they were only temporary. So then the fruit of the church is not the church, is it? The fruit of the church is not the church. The fruit of the faith of Daleville Christian Church may not be seen with our eyes. Isn't that what Paul says? Because what is seen is temporary. We are working to produce good fruit of the Holy Spirit, which may not be seen with the eyes. Paul even states clearly that our bodies can be dwindling, but that does not reflect on the fruit of the Spirit. The exact opposite can be true, body and spirit. The body can dwindle, but at the very same time, the Spirit can be growing. Growing and fruitful. Daleville Christian Church has not had a baptism here in over a year and a half. Is our faith dwindling? Can we produce no fruit? The Bible says that we may be looking in the wrong place, and we may be using the wrong senses. Do not use your eyes in your head. Use the Holy Spirit. Spiritually discern what is good fruit. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. Philippians 4, Paul does not speak of results. Paul does not speak of anything measurable. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Oh, but we Americans love contests. There's got to be a winner and a loser. Our televisions are full of programs where everything is a contest. Highest score wins, last one standing wins. But there is no contest in the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I mean, think about faithfulness. We can imagine someone who is less faithful, but is a person more faithful? Faithfulness is by definition a fullness of faith. More fullness? I don't think so. Peace, forbearance, joy, love, goodness, kindness, fruits, good fruit. Jesus said, in me you will bear good fruit. Amen.